You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for January 1987. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. Let's step right over to the front page of DX News, the magazine of the National Radio Club. As we begin 1987, we have some changes in the way we're doing the service to provide the best audio service available. And these changes are, number one, we're now duplicating our tapes in the mono tape format. Having checked with several members, we found out that no one really cares whether or not it's stereo or mono on these cassettes. So we're now duplicating all our tapes in the mono tape format. And we just purchased a brand new high-speed tape duplicator, which should speed up the process a little bit and help get the issues out to you a little bit quicker. Secondly, we're now using a different computer program for compiling the names and addresses of the membership of the DX Audio Service. You might want to have someone check over your mailing label to make sure that all the information which is on the label is correct. Also, if your ZIP plus 4 is not on the label, you might want to ask your postmaster what it is and let us know here at the DX Audio Service so we can put it on the label and get your issue out to you a little bit quicker. Finally, our next edition of the DX Audio Service, the February 1987 edition, will be mailed out on the 20th of January. So if you return your tapes each month, be sure to have your tapes sent back to us by the 20th of January so we can have it duplicated. We have two CPC tests to report on this edition of the DX Audio Service, and we'll get to those in a couple of minutes. But I'd like to remind you that even if you don't hear the test, why not send a postcard thanking the station anyways? Also, if you don't want to write to stations, you can still help out the membership of the DX Audio Service and the National Radio Club. If you send 22-cent stamps to Wayne Heinen, H-E-I-N-E-N, 4131 South Andes Way, Aurora, spelled A-U-R-O-R-A, Colorado, 80013, and he'll get a letter out for every two stamps that you send. And you can even specify the station or the frequency that you'd like to hear something on. And when a test is arranged, your name will appear in the DX Audio Service and in DX News Magazine. What a deal. I know that we have a lot of night owls in the club, so here's something which is really important. That is the Ray Bream Show from ABC Talk Radio. It's the third annual DX special to be held Saturday, January 10th, 1987 at 0806 UTC. Consult WWV for the proper time. Here's your chance to plug your favorite radio club and air your favorite DX-related topic on national radio. Their in-studio guests will be Paul Swearingen, monitoring times columnist and musings editor for the National Radio Club, and Stuart McKenzie, president of the American Shortwave Listeners Club. Also joining them by phone are Bob Grove, publisher of Monitoring Times, and Dr. Bruce Elving, publisher of the FM Atlas. And later in the morning, they'll speak with Tom Nettle, editor of Popular Communications, and George Jacobs, worldwide radio engineering specialist, and a whole bunch of other notable personalities from the DX world. They'd like to hear from you. If you're outside the Los Angeles area, just dial 1-213-879-8255 during the show. When you dial in, just let the phone keep ringing, and they'll save you a few bucks and answer it just before it's your turn to go on the air. This program will be heard nationally, and some of the key stations are WABC 770, WPRO 630, WTKN 970, WERC 960, WJBO 1150, WKIS 740, KPRC 950, KRNN 930, KTAR 620, KABC 790, KFBK 1530, KXL 750, and KGU 760. The program times may vary a bit, so be sure to check your local schedule. And any information, inquiries, ideas, or anything else should be sent in to Greg Hardison, H-A-R-D-I-S-O-N, producer, KABC Radio, Post Office Box 79, Los Angeles, California, 90016. And if you get your chance to go on the program, be sure to let them know that you're a member of the DX Audio Service. I received a letter from one of our members chastising me for the DX Radio Programs list, which I read a couple issues back, in specific on the errors. Well, no kidding. There is a little bit of a problem as far as getting an accurate list. especially with WRNO. I wrote to the program director and received a letter back from him with all the times and frequencies. That apparently was an error, so I called the disc jockey at WRNO. He gave me the times and frequencies, and that too apparently is an error. In specific, Sunday mornings at 1400 UTC, they claim the program is on 11420. However, I heard it on 9715. What gives? I received a nice letter from Brent Allred, who is the producer for the DX Party Line on HCJB, with some updated dates and frequencies. So let's make another set of corrections to our DX radio programs list. Starting out on Sunday at 0630 UTC, scratch that one, and add Monday at 0930 UTC on 6130, 9745, 11925, and 11740. Also add Monday at 0630 UTC, 6230, 9870, and 11910. Scratch Tuesday at 0630 UTC and add Wednesday at 0230 UTC on 6230, 9870, and 11740. Also Wednesday at 0630 UTC on 6230, 9870, and 11910. Also Wednesday at 0930 UTC on 6130, 9745, and 11925. Scratch Thursday at 0630 UTC and add Saturday at 0630 UTC on 6230, 9870, and 11910. Saturday at 0930 UTC on 6130, 9745, and 11925. And Saturday at 2130 UTC, 15270, 17790, and 11740. And that's all the corrections there for the DX Party Line on HCJB Radio. By the way, I'd like to make another note, and that is the Wednesday 0230 broadcast of the DX Party Line. You can hear Wayne Heinen with AM Interlude. Give him a listen. And, of course, if that has confused you, we will have an updated DX programs list in a couple of months here on the DX Audio Service. One last note about that, if you'd like to write to Brent, his name is Brent Allred, A-L-L-R-E-D, producer for DX Party Line, the English service, HCJB Radio, the voice of the Andes, Casilla, C-A-S-I-L-L-A, 691, comma, Quito, Q-U-I-T-O, comma, Ecuador, E-C-U-A-D-O-R. Well, as the cold weather settles in, the DX comes rolling in and the weirdos come out to play. Those pirate stations are back on the air this winter, and a few were reported in the recent issue of DX News Magazine. And I'd like to bring these to your attention because they are rather unusual radio to listen to. And they're not always on the air, so they are a very rare DX catch if you hear them. Some of the ones which were reported in the recent issue were on 1619 kHz, 1620, 1623, 1625, and 1630. The one on 1630 calls itself WHOT, no relation to Jerry Starr's station, and they say they're in Brooklyn, New York. They were heard back on October the 31st with some weird Halloween programs, jingles, frequency IDs, and requests for phone calls to area code 718-946-9748, and they did promise QSL cards to those who wrote them. And this was according to Kermit Gary in Pennsylvania. Also, the one on 1623 identifies itself as WQUE, and it had rock programming, but tended to fade rather bad at Jerry Starr's location in eastern Ohio. The one on 1619 called itself RNCI, and had a very odd assortment of music, many IDs, and faded out later in the evening. It came in with Dixieland music, rock, and very weird different types of music. This according to Jerry Starr. So if you'd like to hear some unusual DX and some unusual radio, listen on the top end of your dial, but don't confuse the Caribbean Beacon on 1610 as being a pirate station. That is legitimate. Also, I'd like to make mention that if you're into shortwave, a lot of the pirates do tend to hang out around 7425. So there's another outlet for your DX listening pleasure. And And it's time now for CPC tests here on the DX Audio Service. We have two to report for this edition, both on Monday morning. The first is on January 5th, Monday morning, KRMX, 690 kilohertz in Pueblo, Colorado. We'll be testing from 0300 to 0330 Eastern Time. That's Eastern Time. The test details are not available at this time, but if you hear KRMX radio on 690 kilohertz, send your report to Ace Ball, first name Ace, A-C-E, last name Ball, B-A-L-L, chief engineer for radio station KRMX, 2829 Lowell Avenue, L-O-W-E-L-L, Pueblo, Colorado, spelled P-U-E-B-L-O, and the zip code is 81003. This test was arranged for the National Radio Club by Wayne Heinen and Ron Musco. Thanks much, guys. Also on Monday morning, January the 12th, WGHQ, 920 kilohertz in Kingston, New York, will be testing from midnight to midnight 30 with 5,000 watts of power. The test will consist of tones and IDs. If you hear WGHQ 920, send a report to Don Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, chief engineer for radio station WGHQ, 82 John Street, Kingston, New York, spelled K-I-N-G-S-T-O-N, and the zip code is 12401. And this test was arranged for the National Radio Club by Laura McCusker. And that's our CPC tests for this edition of the DX Audio Service. Just a reminder that if you would like to hear a certain station test and have it here on the CPC test column, be sure to send a couple stamps to Wayne Heinen at 4131 South Andes Way, Aurora, Colorado, 80013, and he'll get a letter out for every two stamps that you send. And of course, you can specify the radio station or the frequency that you'd like to hear something on. And of course, when the test is arranged, your name will appear on the DX Audio Service and also on the pages of DX News Magazine on the CPC test column. And hopefully we'll have another set of CPC tests for the next edition of the DX Audio Service. Now here's Jerry Starr with a look at the AM switch column. Jerry?
Hi, everybody. This is Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch for the DX Audio Services right out of the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. We only have three editions to bring you this month. Normally, there would be four a month, but in December, we have a skip week during the peak of the holiday season when DX News is not published. So we have three reports, and they start with number 134. Sort of a brief one. As a matter of fact, for the second time in all the years I've been doing AM Switch, we have no call letter changes in edition number 134. Applications for new station, there is one, which is actually a correction from our last report. New station in Great Falls, Montana. That application is for 1490 kilohertz, 1,000 watts day and night. Three new stations were granted, one with a normal name. First of all, we'll start with the ones with the other kind of names. On 910, Cassopolis, Michigan will be 1,000 watts D3. On 940, Blennerhassett, West Virginia will be 480 watts D3. And on 1080, Edwardsville, Illinois, 500 watts D3. There were no applications or grants for existing facilities, so we slip right down to otherness. On 700, CKRD in Red Deer, Alberta, they are now here, formerly on 850. Also on 700, KMJY, Newport, Washington, this new station is on the air. On 730, CHYR7, sometimes called CHYR1, in Leamington, Ontario, this station is now off the air. CHYR on 710 used to go off at sunset, and 730 would come on the air, and the listeners had to dial up a few KCs to get the night programming. Well, due to the new agreement between Canada and the U.S., CHYR is able to operate full-time on 710 now, so this unique combination is no more. Hope you had a chance to verify it while it was around. So CHYR no longer on 730. 820 KQIN in Burien, Washington. This station is silent pending a sale. 910 KBLG Billings, Montana. They were silent as KOYN. They are back on the air now with a new call and a talk and news format. 930 KLCY East Missoula, Montana. Their full-time CP is now on the air. On 1120 WTWZ Clinton, Mississippi. The station is now on this frequency, formerly on 1150. On 1150 WCUE in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, this station is silent, pending sale or actually a donation. The owners who turned the station off are attempting to donate the facility to the family stations, the people who bring you WYFR shortwave. 1430 WRBA in Homestead, Florida, this station is silent. Also on 1430 WBRB Mount Clemens, Michigan, this station is now back on the air again. And KYKN in Kaiser, Oregon, their full-time CP now on the air. On 1440 KXAM, Helotes, Texas, this new station has been heard testing and may be on the air by the time you hear this. And on 1460 KCKX in Staten, Oregon, this new station is on the air with what they call a variety format. Now let's turn our attention to AM switch number 135, and we made up for the lack of call letters in the last one with a whole pile of them in this one. We start on 590, KLSN, Spokane, Washington, becomes KAQQ. On 720, new station in Wake Forest, North Carolina, will be WNOC, and new station in Tuckahoe, Virginia, will be WARH. On 810, new station in Somerset, Texas, becomes KCHG, and WPED in Crozet, Virginia, becomes WKZN. On 840, new station in Purcellville, Virginia, becomes WMHA. On 940, new station in Blennerhassett, West Virginia, becomes WRRD. 950, new station in Juneau, Alaska, will be KAJD. 990 WYFC, Ypsilanti, Michigan, changes to WWCM. On 1020, new station in Ringgold, Georgia, right up on the Georgia-Tennessee border, becomes WZRB. On 1030, KHOG, Farmington, Arkansas, swaps call letters and becomes KFAY. 1230, new station in Chardon, Nebraska, becomes KZNE. And now on 1250, KFAY in Fayetteville, Arkansas, will become KHOG. 1270, KSSA, Fort Worth, Texas, changes to KESS. 1280, WABK, Gardner, Maine, becomes WQZN. 1310, WNIC, Dearborn, Michigan, changes to WMTG. Originally, they had asked for WGMT. They had that set aside and are now changing to WMTG. And finally, on 1360, KCBR in Wasilla, Alaska, becomes KOBG. There were no applications for new stations in number 135. One new station was granted in Rancho Cordova, California. 25 kilowatts day, 5 kilowatts night, the antenna pattern is U4. Applications for existing facilities. Here are some of the interesting highlights. On 650, WGNZ in Christmas, Florida, would like to relocate, move about 40 miles, actually, to Winter Park, Florida, move to 660 kilohertz with 10,000 day and 1,000 night U4. 950 WBEU in Beaufort, South Carolina, would like to relocate to Hardeeville, South Carolina. On 1010 WSEN, Baldwinsville, New York, would like to move to 780 kilohertz with 7,500 watts D3. Here are some of the highlights from grants to existing facilities. On 620 KSTR, Grand Junction, Colorado, is granted 800 watts at night to make them full-time. Their antenna becomes U2. 740 WRPQ in Baraboo, Wisconsin, will move to 870 kilohertz and become full-time with 5,000 watts day and night U2. And 1050 KOFY, San Mateo, California, becomes full-time also by adding 500 watts at night with a U2 antenna. 1330 WELW Willoughby, Ohio will become full-time, adding 350 watts at night, changing their antenna to U4. On 1360 WMNE Menominee, Wisconsin moves to 870 kilohertz, 2,500 watts day and 1,000 watts night, U2. And finally on 1590 WAWA West Allis, Wisconsin will move to 1,200 kilohertz with 5,000 day, 2,500 night, U4. That confirms an initial decision that was made by the FCC about 6 months ago that had been in a hearing but has now been officially granted. A couple highlights from the Otherness column in number 135 include an 1120 WKQW Oil City, Pennsylvania. This new station is now on the air in the market where I had my very first radio job. The station is Transtar, adult contemporary format. And on 1470, here's a call letter that probably won't go wanting very long. WBIG in Greensboro, North Carolina. This station is now silent. The owners say there is no way for them to be able to cover the population of the Greensboro area, which has expanded way beyond the station's coverage area at night and in the daytime, too. And they express doubt that they will ever reactivate the facility. They doubt even that someone would be interested in buying the facility. So it looks like WBIG Greensboro, North Carolina is about to become non-existent. Now we'll take a look at number 136 and our final edition for this month on the DX Audio Service. Starting with call letter changes, on 600 WBDN, Escanaba, Michigan becomes WCHT. On 620 KGTL, Homer, Alaska changes to KPEN. Two new stations receiving calls on 890. Strathmore, Colorado, which is suburban Colorado Springs, KCBB, and Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, which is suburban Pittsburgh, WGLP. On 910, new station in Cassopolis, Michigan, will be WLLJ. Two changes on 1100, WKSY, Jupiter, Florida becomes WTRU, and WSUM, Parma, Ohio becomes WCCD. 1320 WHOF Coleman, Florida changes to WMHI. 1570 KGCR Pryor, Oklahoma becomes KMYZ. And on 1600 WKJS in Harriman, Tennessee changes their call letter to WWBR. One new station application in this edition on 780 in Springville, Utah for 5,000 day, 500 night, U4. And one new station has been granted, and a new antenna designation has come about. On 1040 in Hanahan, South Carolina, the new station will be 10,000 day, 1,000 nights, U10. Yes, that's right, radio fans. Our antenna designators have moved into double digits. This is one we didn't have a designation before because there's never been one of these before. This station will be non-directional daytime, directional during the four critical hours per day, and non-directional at night. Taking a look at applications from existing facilities, highlights include on 1140 WASG, Atmore, Alabama, wants to move to 550 kilohertz with 700 watts D1, and on 1220 WLPO, LaSalle, Illinois, after being turned down once, has reapplied to add 500 watts of power at night. Grants to existing facilities, a few of interest include on 1090 in Umatilla, Oregon, KLWJ moves to 1100 kilohertz and goes full-time with 10,000 day, 1,000 nights, U2. They'll also have to relocate their transmitter to bring that about. On 1150, KQQQ in Pullman, Washington has been granted a move to 650 kilohertz, 1,000 day, 500 nights, U2. 1320, CFGM Richmond Hill, Ontario will move to 640 kilohertz, 25,000 watts day and night, U4. And scanning down through our final otherness column for this edition, on 630 WVVW, St. Mary's, West Virginia, the general manager of this station, by the way, is a member of the National Radio Club, and he reports to us that they have moved here to 630, formerly on 1570. on 1090 WFCV, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Last edition, we called the station WFWR because, for some odd and twisted reason, our information sources called it WFWR. Well, it turns out that that is an incorrect call. That's an FM call in the city of Fort Wayne. The station on 1090 Fort Wayne, Indiana is WFCV. We called the station and talked to them to confirm that, so that is the straight information. On 1230 KLES, Joplin, Missouri, the station is now silent. 1400 WHGB, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, station is silent. And 1520 WKRE, Exmoor, Virginia, the station is also silent. And finally, on 1570 WNNZ in Westfield, Massachusetts, on the last edition, we listed their call letter change. They were WLDM, and they changed to WNNZ, but we listed it on 640. Well, they have a CP to move to 640, but they haven't moved yet, so keep that call, WNNZ, Westfield, Massachusetts, for the time being, on 1570. And we find ourselves out of information and out of time, so that'll wrap it up for this edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. Hope you survived the holidays and had some happy ones. We'll be back in February with our next edition. I'm Jerry Starr for the DX Audio Service, and now once again, here is Fred.
Thank you very much, Jerry. From Eric Buniman comes word that the Gateway DX Club International has been reactivated after an 18-month lapse with an address of Post Office Box 1202, Florissant, that's spelled F-L-O-R-I-S-S-A-N-T, Missouri, and the zip plus 4 is 63031-1202. Also at the same address is the Gateway DX Monitoring Service, so if you live anywhere near St. Louis, you might want to check out those two particular clubs. Now here's Bob Walker with Anarchon 86.
Well, it's been a hectic weekend, to say the least, coming rapidly to an end here at Anarchon 86 in Montreal. And I guess to sum it all up, Terry Colgan, the, I don't want to say departing, but the maybe lame duck.
Soon to be former
executive secretary of ANARC, the Association of North American Radio Clubs, and I guess your thoughts, maybe at this time, because we've discussed ANARC in some previous interviews here with others, that it is the coalition somewhat of the various listening clubs, which the National Radio Club is one, but I guess maybe summing up your views of the state of the hobby, maybe, that we were discussing.
Well, thank God the sunspots are increasing, at least for shortwave listeners. I think the hobby is doing quite well, considering sunspots and increasing prices for receivers, because most of them come from Japan, and the relationship between the dollar and the yen isn't what it used to be. I think what we'll see is, and you know, this is no secret, movement toward local clubs. Michigan Area Radio Enthusiasts obviously is the newest of the local clubs, is doing fabulously, and I think their success indicates that the local organizations are going to be where shortwave will be 5 years from now. We're sort of going back to our roots. You know, all the major clubs, NRC, SpeedX, NASWA, started as local organizations. And as they became better and better known, they grew, and right now they're national clubs. Unfortunately, though, there's just virtually no social contact in those organizations, and that's what's lacking right now. It's the personalization of the hobby, and I've just slipped into another trap when I call it a hobby, because it's the personalization of radio listening, that you've got real live people there who you can ask questions to and get answers and exchange information, because you know, as you know, and anybody who gets any of the club bulletins knows, it's very impersonal, a sort of a medium, And so I think it's the face-to-face contact and the success of those local organizations that will really spell the success of the shortwave listening or any radio listening in coming years.
Is the hobby growing?
Well, I don't know whether it is or not. With sunspots the way they are now, with the economic situation the way it is right now, there's really not a good way to get a handle on whether it's growing or not. I'd say that perhaps it's not shrinking rapidly, although it may be shrinking a bit. But you don't know 3 years from now, for instance, when the sunspot cycle, you know, is kind of on the upswing, how many of those people who have set out the last few years because conditions have been so bad, how many of those are going to say, well, it's time to take my shortwave radio down off the shelf and dust it off and start tuning? We'll just have to see. The membership of the Anarch clubs has remained fairly steady over the last few years. So we've not seen any major changes, but we can't keep track of how many renewals there are within the clubs and how many new people are coming in. All we can say is that the number of members of our member clubs really hasn't changed significantly over the last 3 or 4 years.
What's Anarch do for the typical club member? What does Anarch do for them?
Anarch doesn't do anything for them. Anarch is a club of clubs. We have 18 member clubs, and we provide services to those clubs themselves. The Anarch Convention is one example of those services. We have worked with the Congress and the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. Bob Horvitz has been instrumental in our, what I think are tremendous inroads in educating the Congress and what a bad bill the ECPA is. We have some rather mild-mannered public relations efforts in trying to get information out to people who just write us and say, I'd like a list of clubs. But one of the things we're working on right now, which is really pretty exciting, is that we're looking at putting together an introduction to radio listening that might have some information that we could send out for a dollar, let's say. That and a copy of our club list and some other things, and, you know, at least break even or not lose a lot of money, because we're not around to make money. We're simply around to provide a service, and if we can do that and we don't lose a lot of money, then we feel we're doing pretty good.
I won't put you on the spot and ask you to name all 18 clubs, though I'm sure you could. You talked about the Electronic Privacy Act that was in Congress, and I know you and Bob Horvitz were both instrumental and both spent quite a bit of time and study on it. Where does it stand right now?
Well, the ECPA passed the House, but the version that passed the House wasn't the version that we were opposed to. At the very last minute in the House Judiciary Committee, they introduced a substitute, which removed, I'd say, most of our objections to the bill. The difficulty was when that substitute was introduced, it was passed then by the Judiciary Committee, it was passed by the House. When it went over to the Senate, the Senate sponsors took that same bill, simply renumbered it so that it reads as a Senate bill rather than a House bill, and said, you know, we're introducing this as a substitute for 1667, which was the original Senate bill. This bill takes care of all the problems that the radio enthusiasts, the radio hobbyists had. Unfortunately, it doesn't take care of all those concerns. But it's a much better bill than what 3378, which was the original House number, and 1667, which was the original Senate number. It's a much better bill than either of those, but it still has some artificial descriptions of what kind of signals are readily accessible to the public and what aren't. And anyone who knows anything about radio knows that if you broadcast a signal into the air and someone has a receiver, they're going to be able to pick it up, assuming they're within range. So we're still working on this artificial putting in boxes of those types of things which are readily accessible and those which aren't. It may very well be that within the next 2 to 3 weeks there'll be a bill out of the Senate. Depending on how different it is from the House version, they may very well have to go to conference on it.
Your thoughts, briefly, on this AnarchCon 86, which I think officially closes in about 4 hours from now, as we sit in the somewhat darkened and quietest moment of one of the convention halls this weekend. Any thoughts on it? Any surprises that you've seen come from it?
Well, I think the one surprise was the success of the stamp exhibit. The Lakeshore Stamp Club in Montreal put on a superb exhibit of radio-related stamps. Anyone who saw that exhibit could get a numbered QSL card for their visual reception of that exhibit. Canada Post came up with a special postmark for the convention so that anyone who sent any letters or cards or anything could have a special convention postmark put on it. First time anything like that's ever happened at an ANARC convention. It is, I think, probably the most interesting aspect of this convention, and perhaps the most interesting aspect of the five conventions that I've attended.
Next year, AnarchCon 87, briefly, where is it going to be, and what maybe do we have to look in store for?
Well, it'll be in Toronto, sponsored by the Ontario DX Association, and what we have to look forward to is a fantastic convention. ODXA did a superb job in 1984 when we were in Toronto last time. We certainly expect no less from them this time. In fact, it'll be difficult, though, for them to exceed the standards that I think they set. The 88 convention, for anyone who might be interested, will either be in Huntington Beach, California, sponsored by the ASWLC, the American Shortwave Listeners Club, or in St. Petersburg Beach, Florida, sponsored by Radio Discovery. The selection of the convention site will be made sometime during August by the ANARC Club representatives, and we should start publicizing the actual convention site for the 88 convention probably in September.
You know, just one thing I got to touch on, because since I'm primarily a medium wave DXer, and we had talked before how ANARC, since IRCA and NRC both have their own separate conventions, and the same as WTFDA for TVFM, and how AnarchCon, even 75% of the members are shortwave clubs, shortwave listeners, that I must admit, being my first AnarchCon, I came here expecting a big shortwave group and didn't really know what to expect as a medium wave DXer, but I can say it's been a good experience and I'm looking forward to next year already. It's I think everyone here shares the same common bond, the love of radio, and I think that's been the unifying point behind the whole event, and everybody's got the same goal. We just like to hear it in different frequency.
Well, I think that's right, and I think some people in listening and in the listening hobby particularly forget that there is that common goal that you talked about. And, you know, I would think that a medium wave or an FMTV DXer would probably feel right at home with these people, because they're just as crazy about radio as that person is. They might, as you say, be interested in tuning to those things on a different frequency, but I think there are many, many commonalities which would make something like an ANARC convention very, very enjoyable for anyone.
I think I felt at home about the minute I put my suitcase down in my room, and I felt comfortable all weekend. Terry Colgan, thank you very much, and I think from everyone, thanks to you too for your years of service to ANARC. I know we'll see you next year in Toronto. I imagine the bug's got you and you'll be back. Thank you for your service, and thanks for joining us on the DX Audio Service.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
And I'd like to thank Bob Walker for recording that at the 1986 ANARC Convention up in Canada. And Bob will be back with us next edition of the DX Audio Service. One side note to make mention of: the new executive secretary of ANARC is Don Hosmer, former president of the Michigan Area Radio Enthusiasts. All of us here at the DX Audio Service would like to welcome Don aboard his new position with ANARC. And if you'd like some more information about the Michigan Area Radio Enthusiasts, you can contact Bob Walker at his address, 45605 Timber Lane Court, apartment 204, Walled Lake, that's two words, Michigan, and the zip code is 48088-3128.
Another public service announcement from Fabulous 56 WQTE.
Recently in Radio World magazine, there was an interesting article about a lawsuit filed against KXA Radio. And with a report, here's Phil Tallman.
KGA AM Spokane and its owner, Price Broadcasting Salt Lake City, have been named defendants in a suit filed by the husband of a woman who died of a cancer similar to leukemia. The complaint, filed July 30th in Spokane County Superior Court on behalf of Thomas DeLuzio, maintained that DeLuzio's wife, Janice, developed cancer as a result of being exposed to the station's 50-kilowatt signal, which broadcast on 1510 kilohertz. DeLuzio's attorney, John Glassman, said Janice DeLuzio was diagnosed in 1982 as having multiple myeloma, a cancer of the blood plasma cells. At the time, Glassman said, a medical specialist asked Ms. DeLuzio whether she may have been exposed to radio station transmissions. Glassman declined to name the specialist, but cited him as one of the foremost authorities on multiple myeloma in the world. In the 1970s, the DeLuzios moved to a house approximately 500 feet from KGA's transmitter. Their children, ages 12 and 15, attended Mullen Road Elementary School, which Glassman said is approximately 200 feet from the KGA antenna. The school district, according to Glassman, has also been named in the suit, which charges that school and county officials placed the school where they should have known a hazard existed. At press time, according to Glassman, there had been no formal response from the defendants. For the DX Audio Service, this is Phil Tallman.
And that article was from Radio World Magazine. I'd like to remind you that if you have an item to buy, sell, or trade, you best get your information into the DX Change editor as soon as possible. Tom Farmery heads up the post, and the DX Change is a column where they list items to buy, sell, or trade in DX News Magazine, and of course we read it here on the DX Audio Service. So if you have an item to buy, sell, or trade, send your information to Tom Farmery, F-A-R-M-E-R-I-E, 62 Sunrise Avenue, Grafton, Massachusetts, and the zip code is 01519-1006. Be sure to list all your items that you want to buy, sell, or trade by the category of buy, sell, or trade, and include your name, address, and your telephone number. And it will be published in DX News Magazine and, of course, read here on the DX Audio Service. And, of course, get your information in as soon as possible because another edition of the DX Change column is coming up very soon here on the DX Audio Service. Interesting article appeared in the most recent edition of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine entitled Important Dates in Radio. It's very important because I always thought radio began in 1922. Here it suggests that radio actually began in 1864 when a British scientist by the name of James Clerk Maxwell suggested that the existence of electromagnetic waves that travel at the speed of light, which we now, of course, call radio waves. And in 1890, a German scientist, Heinrich Hertz, proved that Maxwell's theory was true. In 1895, an Italian inventor by the name of Marconi sent radio signals through the air. In 1906, an American scientist by the name of Fessenden broadcast voice by radio. In 1909, passengers of the USS Republic are saved in the first sea rescue using radio. In 1819, American inventor Edwin H. Armstrong develops the superheterodyne circuit, enabling a radio to be used without headphones. In 1920, stations WWJ of Detroit and KDKA of Pittsburgh make the first regular commercial broadcasts. In 1922 to 1950, radio was a major source of family home entertainment during the golden age of broadcasting. And in 1933, Armstrong develops FM broadcasting. In 1947, scientists at the Bell Labs develop the transistor. In 1961, Russian space officials hold the first radio conversations with a man in space. And in the 1960s, stereo radio broadcasting began. And of course, I guess we can put down that slate, 1985, the DX Audio Service first became in existence. interesting thing on this particular column is the fact that they list both WWJ and KDKA as being the first stations on the air. It's something which both stations will dispute that the other was the first. And in fact, I have heard stories that also KQV was in the running as the first station on the air. If anyone wants to settle that particular dispute, you're welcome to get in on the fight. I'd like to remind you again about the Ray Bream special on ABC Talk Radio, the third annual DX special, which is going to be on Saturday, January the 10th at 0806 UTC. I don't want you to forget about that. Might want to call in and make some mentions about the DX audio service and also talk about your favorite radio hobby. Again, the telephone number is 1-213-879-8255. And if you haven't ever called up talk radio, the way it works is if you call in and it starts to ring, you've gotten through to talk radio. Just stay there and just let it ring and ring and ring, because what they do is they pick up the phone just before you're ready to go on, and that way you don't get hit with the long-distance charges while you're sitting on hold. So I hope you participate in the third annual DX special, the Ray Bream Show on ABC Talk Radio. Well, that just about wraps it up for side one of this cassette. On side two, we'll have, of course, Phil Wayne with a look at MarketScope. John Bowker has some more on the travelogue, and we have more news and information for you right here on the DX Audio Service.
I'm going to explain this to the guy who's getting this and to some of you folks out there that haven't heard this explanation, but when you hear this jingle, that means that we have a solid gold toad, one of those raunchy songs from out of the garbage can, all ready to pick out for you. Yes, and this song here goes out to a guy who just recently made a move down to Swanton, Ohio, which is over by Assumption, Ohio, and Berkey, Ohio, and the rest of those, you know, keen towns in the top 10, you know. I mean, and we got a special song here to send out to him since he's such a nice buddy of ours. We just like to hose him real good. This beautiful music here from THM.
What's that guy on WTHM in Lapeer, Michigan? Who cares? See you on Side 2 with more.